Hi guys, welcome to Navigating. So, sorry for the heartbreak music. Today's episode is one that I am super duper excited for. Mostly because maybe I'm a bit tipsy, but that's not the point. The point is because I am doing it with two of my favorite human beings in the whole world.
Of course.
My cousins. And today, we're just going to be talking about how it is to grow up in an African home setting, how it is to grow up in a Kenyan household with Kenyan parents. Strict, not strict, stuff like that. So I'm gonna let them introduce themselves, and we're gonna start here. What's your name?
Hey, my name is Thelma. I'm 17 years old, and I'm Harry's cousin.
Yes, sir. And there.
Hi, my name is Cherries, and it's nice to be here.
Of course, it's nice to be here. It's Navigating. So yeah, a little bit of background about how we grew up. We were like born a few months apart from each other. So like one of us is born in 2003, September. The next one, 2004, May. The next one, 2005, February. So we're like just months apart from each other. And in our family, we're the only ones who are born like that. Like everyone else is either way older or way younger, like babies. Yeah, so we like every family vacation, every like holiday spent was always the three of us, and there was a lot of like it was a lot. So we're comparing how growing up was then and the experiences that we've had growing up, and now how it is as we get into adulthood, some of the things that we've experienced as far as coming from this family is concerned, and just, you know, having a reflection on that. So the first thing, I'll start with what I remember. So we always used to go to where my grandma lives, which is like in the village, and this is back then, so we would always like have to be the ones to come up with a fun thing to do. Like it was always us, because nobody else wanted to start it. So I remember this one time we went and we would play so much, and like, you know, it was just really fun growing up. Sometimes we'd get into fights. Like, I remember some of our fights were so... We'd fight over such stupid things like chocolate, like toys and stuff like that. And it was crazy because it was fun, but it was like... We'd get into so many fights when we were younger, but now we are, like, closer. What's a memory that you guys have?
Okay, so a memory that I have is that, yes, we would play a lot. Like, now, it's different because we have phones. Whenever we go to the village, like, we don't even try to, like, interact with the other ones.
True.
But back then, it was like we were forced to play with everyone else. Now, it's just like we keep to ourselves. We don't talk to anyone, really. But back then, we were playing with everyone. So that's something I remember.
Yeah.
Me, going to the village was interesting because an 8-hour journey, you know?
Yeah.
So we used to like listen to rumba and reggae the whole way. So that's the reason why
we like rumba,
rumba and reggae.
Oh yeah, we used to like be forced to listen to rumba music on the way home. So it was
for like
fun.
Hours.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was not fun. Another thing in comparison to us now is that when we were, okay, so when, now because I'm telling you, we're all the same age, almost the same age, so we would have, like, the older kids were slightly older or very much older, so everyone would play together. So I remember when we were, like, 13, around there, where, like, the girls were 13, and then all the boys in our family are like old. So when we were young, they used to play with us. Then they all turned 17, 18, 19, 20. They all just grew up at the same. So the same way we are the same age is the same way that they are the same age.
Yeah.
So because they're like 17, 18, 19, 20, when we were 13, 12, and 11, we didn't understand why we couldn't go out with them. Because they would go. We'd all be like maybe at an uncle's place or at my grandma's place or something like that, and we'd all be just talking, eating, and then all of a sudden the boys are like, yeah, we are going, and then the rest of us would be left to babysit the very small cousins or just stay with the grown-ups, the grown-ups.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would always go out to, like, there's a place in the village called Junction. They'd always go to Junction, and we would never understand why they have to leave us. Why can't we go with you guys? What are you going to do in Junction that we can't do? But now,
we would even try to force them
to, like, go with us. Yeah. But now at this age, we understand, and we also try. I'm so sorry to our younger cousins, but we also try to avoid them, and we're always like, get into the car, make sure they don't see you. Because that's how it was. These older guys used to do that to us. They used to be like, wait, make sure, I'm going to speak in Swahili, ati, make sure our jakwana ingia kwa ile gari to drive yonde wasituone. And it was so painful because we were like, you guys, we used to play together. Why is it now that you don't even want to hang with us? So I feel like for me, that's something that really hurt me. But growing up, I understood. Why do you think it's all of a sudden we don't want to hang out with our younger cousins? I think things that we have to relate to are different. Because now we talk about, we'll talk about boys, we'll talk about, you know, and we can't talk to them about it. What else?
Go.
Okay. What?
Our parents, how have they changed from then to now? Like,
my dad.
Okay. So something I noticed about my mom is that I'm the firstborn, and then I used to get beaten for, like, the dumbest things. Mm. Like, let's say I forgot a bottle in my room, then she comes and sees it. She'll beat me for leaving the bottle in my room because I'm messy, I want to be a messy girl. Now, my brother, he has, like, 6 bottles in his room. He comes down with them, and my mom just laughs. She's like, oh, I forgot these bottles. Wow. And my mom just laughs with him, and she's like,
yeah, I know, I don't like
Miss
that.
To let her to just bring them down, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't like that. I remember, I think my dad never beat me, ever. Yeah. Like, he never ever lay a hand, like, never ever. And even when my mom would beat me, he'd be like, no, chill, no, don't do that, no, don't hit her. So my mom really, really used to beat me. And there are things that she would beat me for that to this date, I don't understand why I was beaten. Like, it could be, I went outside and I left, what, like, a hairband outside. And then she'd beat me and be like, you know, these things we use money to buy whatever. And I'm like, you did not have to beat me. You could have just told me to go. I'm so sorry, by the way. They didn't beat us, like, badly to the point of death. Don't call child services on them. But I was beaten by my mom, not my dad. But sometimes I'm like, I laugh about it now. But when I was small, I used to pack my bag and say, I am running away from home because there's no way you can beat me like that. And then whenever we're in front of you guys, everyone would be like, your mom is so nice. No,
she's
no,
the coolest
no,
person.
No,
she's
no,
the coolest
no,
mom.
No. In my head, I was like, if you guys knew the hell she just put me through. And then every time my mom would beat me, she'd be like, after she beats me, she'd be like, do you want to go to KFC today? I'm like, yes, I want, but I don't want to talk to you. You know, yeah.
Me, I was a very outgoing child when I was younger. So, you know me, my dad is really strict. As in, too strict.
Even now? Or only and, then?
And then. Mm. Right now, he's better, but see better in a click. In a good way, kabisa. He's trying, but
it's still tough.
Me went through a lot.
I can see it in your eyes.
I wasn't being chapwad.
You were being beaten.
Hey, me. Like, I
can't complain. Trauma. I can't.
Because now I'm a very good child. Mm-hmm. People look up to me. You see these guys, they look up to me. So, yeah.
Okay, so how is it now compared to back then?
Rich,
how is your relationship with your mom after growing up?
I think my mom and I used to argue a lot because, you know, my dad wasn't always there.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom was, I think in her own way, she was going through something from like the end of their relationship. So I feel like sometimes she would project, not that my mom is an amazing mom. I love you, mom. But I think growing up, like now that I'm 18 and I'm just maneuvering adulthood and even relationships, I think that she used to sometimes project that pain on me because I'm my father's child. Like she'd see him in me. And so it became like at some point, maybe when I was 14, 15, it was toxic because we could take like days without talking to each other. And sometimes she would like, I think I understood. When I was younger, I didn't understand, like, why is my mom being so mean? I'd find her crying sometimes. And, like, why is this woman crying when you just woke up and decided to cry? But then growing up and, like, seeing how she had to struggle for me to actually get some of the things that I got from her, I'm like, okay, I understand. But we used to fight a lot. Like a lot, and then she used to beat me, and then at some point I became rebellious and said, "You won't beat me." Then she's like, "Yes, I'll beat you." Stuff like that. Like, we used to get into fights, but in the end, you know, it's always been the two of us. Like, there's no one I'd rather spend my days with, like, other than my mom. So I feel like now we're very close. Now we're close, we talk about, like, my mom, we can talk about boys, we can talk about alcohol, we can talk about partying and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the flip side of that for me is that I used to think my dad was really chill until I started living with him as a grown-up. And then I realized he's not. He's so freaking overprotective. I cannot walk from here to outside the gate without being asked, why am I walking? We have a car. Well, you know, things like that. Why didn't you tell me to drop you? Like, he is so overprotective. Wah! Sometimes I feel suffocated, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's things that he's done that I don't agree with. And, like, I know them, but I don't ever want to have those conversations with him. So I feel like, for me, relationships with my parents kind of flipped. I used to think I was closer to my dad. We are close. He's my BFF. But, like, how we were back then is not how we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, that's what changed.
Hey, me, my mom. My mom is my bestie. She's never beaten me. Hey, that's a flex, man.
That's why she's your bestie. Hey.
But she never intervened.
Oops. Me. Maybe he'd also beat her.
Everyone has their flaws. Yeah. You know. So, yeah. Me.
But your mom has always been the one, like, the chill one. Yeah. Like, everyone agrees to that. Yeah. I feel like, yeah.
Mm. Okay, so me, it's always just have been me and my mom, because my dad was not very much in the picture. Yeah, so I have seen my dad, but, you know, I've never had a relationship with him. My mom tells me stories that when I was a baby, he would go out with me and stuff. But, you know, I moved to Germany, and then my mom gave
him your number
so that he could talk to me whenever he wanted to. But then he would just like reach out every 6 months, then ask, yeah, how is she? How is she doing? And then, disappear. You know, yeah, and then disappear for a few months. So my mom just decided to block him for good, and they've never talked, you know, but back then, yeah, they've never talked until then. So it has always just been me and my mom, and yeah, back then. She would beat my mom. She beats me. She beats everyone. But she was like a bit. She was a bit stricter on me because I'm the oldest one and she doesn't want me to fail. So she projects. She gives me a lot of pressure in some way because I'm the oldest one and she doesn't want me to fail her. Yeah. She doesn't want me to disappoint her because growing up we didn't have much. And yeah, she just wants my brothers to look up to me. So yeah, and I feel like that's also a reason why I fight with her still, because she still puts a lot of pressure on me, in like a lot of ways. Like now she's chill because she knows how she grew up. Her mom didn't allow her to go out clubbing. She allows me to go to parties, clubbing, but but no, I'm not allowed to like talk to boys. Like sometimes I can talk to her about boys, but she doesn't want me to have a boyfriend.
There's a line. Yeah,
yeah. She doesn't want me to have a boyfriend,
but then yet. I'm like, so why are we talking about it if then like, I can't, you know? Yeah,
like she allows me to go to parties, but I'm not allowed to like talk to any boys, like past friendship. Yeah, like that's what she wants. So, I mean,
for me, I think how we've grown up, we've seen from the aunties and uncles that we have and then our parents, we've seen very strict and then very chill. So we've seen like our parents, some of them be very strict. Then we've seen some of our cousins failing. Like the ultimate failure, like the biggest flaw, as in you're a disappointment.
Yes.
And then we've seen others be successful. We've seen aunties and uncles that have disappointed, and we've seen others that have been successful. And then we have this, like, they keep telling us how they grew up in poverty. Like, every African child can relate to this. Yes. We walked to school, we didn't have shoes, we didn't have food, we were sharing this, we didn't have uniform, we were poor like this. I feel like every African kid can relate to that. And we're the same. We were told these, we've been told these stories and still are told these stories whenever. As in, you guys have to make us proud, you have to change the family line. Need,
like blah, 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 blah. The younger ones are the ones singing this. You know, our dads didn't used to walk to school without shoes.
Yeah.
You know that? And then they laugh. You know, they take it as a joke. But
because that generation is fucked up. They have no hope.
they have iPhones. Then they are just... They have TikTok. For them, everything is just funny.
Oh, yeah, we should talk about that. So, when we were growing up, we did not have that luxury. We didn't have phones. We didn't have like tablets or laptops. But then our younger cousins, the ones that are now 11, 10, 9, 6, those ones, they have iPhones. I am competing with my 11-year-old cousin who has an iPhone, I don't know, 8 plus. And at his age, I did not have a cellular device. So how is that like? Our us growing up and this new now next generation.
Hey, let me tell you something.
Hey, them, they do have a social life.
They don't.
They don't. So when they get older, they're going to struggle lots. Yeah, you know, us, we were brought up better.
Us, we had to play. We didn't have a choice. We would go up the mango tree, we'd play hide and seek until late in the night. We'd take the cows out to graze. As in, whenever we'd go to the village, we'd just experience what village life properly was like. But then, they go to the village and they're watching Cocomelon on the iPhone and they are just not in touch with their, you know, their cultural side. So I feel like that's different.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to have Instagram until I was, I don't know how old, 14 years old.
My parents still don't know I have Instagram.
My brother, he's 12. he downloaded Instagram and my mom didn't say anything. You know, I was forced to delete Instagram when my mom saw that one.
Me, until I don't think my dad knows I have Instagram until now that I'm 18. But, yeah, so the way we grew up was quite, like, it was fun. We had our fun moments. Mm-hmm. But also, being the three, there's just a lot of, what is it called? There's a lot of expectation for the three of us, and we just thought that we could talk about it because there's people who are like us. There's people from wherever family, from whatever families you guys come from, whatever social backgrounds you have, or like just where you're from. I'm sure that there are people like you who people like us. What am I saying? What? Don't drink and talk, guys. You'd say things you don't understand. But yeah, there's people that are like us who they have the three or four or even two or more of you were born at like the same time, and your family has already set out expectations of what you're supposed to do, how it's supposed to be. Like by the time you guys are 27 or something, you're supposed to be having a stable job, stable home, stable car, stuff like that. You're supposed to be married by 28. You're supposed to have kids by 29, you know, stuff like that.
Like even our relationship, it was like kind of forced because the expectation we had, like, you're supposed to be close, you're supposed
because you're like the sister. Same age, why don't you guys have, but it's not that we don't like each other, no, that's not what we're trying to say, but we feel like us hanging out together naturally is easier than when we were younger, because when we were younger we would literally be forced. I remember these two would be brought to my house, like I wouldn't even know they are coming. I'd be called and told, by the way, Che and Talma are coming, and I'd be like, okay, because there was nothing I could do about it. But now when we have a choice, like we're hanging out today, we're going to drink together, today we're going to have this and this food, we're gonna cook together, I think when we initiate it, it becomes easier and we find that we relate more than when our parents used to force us to hang out together. So the fact that we're almost the same age, we're like supposed to be each other's role models. Mm-hmm. Like, we're supposed to look up to each other. We're supposed to... Because I remember there's a time that I was told, oh, you know, Talma these days, she's doing modeling. You, what are you doing with your life? And I'm like, damn, I'm in school. What do you want me to do? Get a job? You know, stuff like that. We have to... We're, like, forced to look up to each other. And that's why we only have each other. So, because the older ones will push us away. They don't want us these days. The younger ones, they're too young. Like, so we were the only ones born at the same time. And we have one of us upcoming, but like when she finishes high school, we'll revisit this conversation. But yeah, so I was saying that we're sure that there are people like us out there who would just like to listen to like the background of how we grew up, how our parents treated us, coming from strict homes, and how we dealt with that. It's not easy because, hey, I remember I used to be chapwad. I used to be fixed probably. I used to be told, why are you eating at the neighbor's house? Why are you that one? Oh. Like, the neighbors had really good food. Let me tell you. Kwanza, us, where we lived, our next door neighbors were from Portugal, and they used to make nice food I'd never seen in my house. Me, and then I imagine I'm going home to eat rice and beans. I'm like, no way. And there were a couple and they didn't have kids, and so they used to be like, just come, just eat, just eat. Me, I would eat and be like, ah, wow, so good. Then I'd go back home, find my mom sitting in the sitting room waiting for me. And then she would beat me until I would throw up all that food.
Hey.
What?
Why me? What were it you was thinking? So bad.
And they would always make excuses like, you don't know, the neighbor could poison you. The neighbor could be bad. Maybe they don't like us. And I'm like, really, you're overthinking it. Surely, it can't be that bad. So, those are the kind of like strict elements that there were in our growing up. And then if like one of us does something wrong, this applies to all of us in the family, like all the young kids. If one of us does something wrong, all of them will sit down to discuss how this one has done this, and then they will all come up with a solution, and then, yeah. And we have these cousins who used to be beaten by our uncles, and they would beat them like thieves for, like, random stuff. Like, oh, we saw you with a boy in the town. Oh, they'd be beaten. So, you know, there are those things we just couldn't do because we were so scared. Like, guy, we'll be beaten like that. So those are the strict aspects. But all in all, growing up in an African household is fun. Because first of all, the food is always vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we have celebrations, our aunties and moms are always cooking up a good meal.
They always come through.
They always. They never fail us. So that's the plus. And then we have each other. Like, even if we don't all like each other sometimes, always... We have each other, and then the music is always vibes, the stuff is, yeah, so.
And even though, like, the older ones, they used to push us away, now they're, like, trying to come back, kind of, because we're growing up.
Yeah, because we're growing, and we're cool, yeah, you know, who does not like to spend time with the Fantastic Three?
So, now they try to also hang out with us, so.
Yeah.
They're not... completely out of the picture. They're coming back slowly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And also, I think now we can relate to the things that they were experiencing when they were our age.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way they wanted their freedom. Because look at us now. Ooh. Sometimes we just don't want to be with our parents. We're like, yo, can we just leave?
All the things we just said, I want to, like, hear their version of it. Because, you know, they grew up getting beaten.
Yeah.
Especially her brothers. They were getting beaten.
We should have, like, a conversation with them also. We will plan it. We'll plan it. Maybe during the weekend or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Growing up in our family is quite adventurous because every day there's something happening. Like, there's just always drama. There's
always someone failing. Always someone...
passing.
To look up to.
Yeah.
Someone... Cherisa, may anaenda uni.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Take your life seriously.
Exactly. Hmm. Work hard. Oh, no. The one that was, hey, Natalie is moving to the US.
That one.
Everybody talked about it. And there was so much pressure for me because I was being told, you know, now all your cousins are looking up to you. Do you know this is a big thing for our family?
My mom was like, you see, Sasa Natalie, she's going to New York. She has a scholarship. You should also get one. Why aren't you applying for one?
God. See, the kind of pressure that we have to go through, like, we don't even,
like, if
plan. Like, we're not even thinking in those lines, but all of a sudden you want me to go to New York. You know, stuff like
they
that.
They indirectly make us compete with each other. Yeah,
indirectly, yeah.
Yeah. So if one of us fails, hey, if you okay, jaribu kukua kama uyu, hey,
yeah.
And then if someone is like doing good, like we're happy for each other, we support, we all support each other. But our parents, like, they're like, oh, you see now your cousin is doing this and look at you.
You
are
you not doing it? Those are the worst examples ever. But they make us who we are. And then the fact that our parents were very like came from a very very poor background. And their dad and their mom struggled to like take them to school.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them didn't even finish. So you can imagine the kind of pressure that we have. And I'm so sure that other people out there have the same kind of pressure. Like, your parents came from a poor background and then made it in life. And automatically, you have to make it. Like, there's no two ways about it. Maybe you wanted to be a DJ, but then be like, no, you cannot. And you can't. Like, you have to be a lawyer, doctor, engineer, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we also go through that. We are also told how... oh, we walked to school. Oh, we didn't have shoes. Oh, blah, 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 blah. All those things. And we also have to maneuver.
I was the top of my class. Like,
I hate that one. Because now you can imagine how I'm told that all the time. Oh, no. I hate that one.
Like, whenever I'd have, like, it wasn't even a bad grade. Like, it was okay. She would be like, you're not supposed to do this. I was the best in my class. You're supposed to be like...
Kwanza high school math.
I used to get 40% and thank God that is I've not gotten zero. And then my dad is like, how can you get 40?
Math. What is everything?
And then, you know, my mom was good at math. So automatically I was expected to be. And it's also like how my dad is a lawyer. My dad does this. My dad is that. My dad did this, went where. Everyone is like, Natalie, you know your dad. So I'm not him. Okay? So those are the kind of comments that we go through. On a daily basis, on like a monthly, weekly basis.
Yes, like me, I used to suck. I suck at math. I really do. And my mom, I don't even know my dad, but she expects me to know math just because my dad knew math. She's like, you know, your dad, he was so smart. He knew. He
well,
knew
you're math. Not your dad. I don't even know him. Like, but yeah, the point is. That it's oh no wait I have one more point before we wind up. How has it been growing up? We were always okay, most of the time, most family vacations we were always together, but now two of us out of three can't always be there, because now I live in New York and she lives in Germany, and now you live in Kenya. So now we can't always be together during social gatherings. So how was that? We'll start with you because you've experienced
Let
it.
Let me tell you guys. Me, when I go to these social gatherings, I only just stay in the room because there's nothing I can do with the other kids.
Yeah.
So sometimes I FaceTime you.
Yeah.
When you know I'm there. Mm-hmm. But if you don't know I'm there, I usually just stay alone. Hey, that has been. And I didn't go to Shagoy last year because you guys aren't there. Hey.
For you, how was it when you moved and realized that Christmases were going to be alone? Easter, you were going to be alone.
Let me tell you, when I moved to Germany, I was like so happy. I was like, see, now. Life is good. I have everything. And at first, I didn't even not care. But I was like, okay, they have Christmas without me. I have Christmas here, you know?
Yeah.
And then as I got older and I wasn't there, I saw everyone, you know, eating, taking pictures, going to Kisumu, going to the lake. And I was just like, I wish I was there. I would get so sad because now in Germany, I'm not doing anything. It's Christmas. We're all at home. It's cold. No one is doing anything. Everything's closed. We can't go anywhere. So we just be at home. And then I see all these fun social gatherings. Mm-hmm. And I'd be so sad. I'd be like, I wish I was there. So, yeah.
For me, I think... It's bittersweet because on one hand, moving to New York is an opportunity that I never thought would present itself for me. Like, that was one of the biggest risks I've ever taken in my life. Like, I've never taken a risk. I'm always so careful. And so that was a big risk. And it was I was so happy because first of all, I was leaving my high school here. My high school in Kenya really damaged me. But yeah, that was one of the biggest things for me. But then leaving my friends was so hard. There's people that became friends that became family, and I had to leave them. It broke my heart, but I couldn't show it. I'm a gangster. Gangsters don't show pain. So I would cry alone. Then, now, when it came to you guys and the family, it wasn't bad when it started. Then Christmas came. Everybody went to the village. I was not there. I was just getting... No. It wasn't too bad because my dad also didn't go. Mm. So I was like, whatever. But then now, New Year's, I think there was a party. Was so painful because I was just seeing the food passing. I was seeing everybody's vibes and I'm like, yo, I used to be there. But now I'm not. And then a moment after seeing those things and just I realized that people take home and family for granted. Mm-hmm. Like you don't know how good they are until you're not mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. them anymore. So I moving and then experiencing that taught me that I really need to appreciate the family and the friends that I have, because I think that they'll be there forever, but maybe one day I'll leave, move to another country, or they leave and go to another place. So it made me learn to appreciate the small things, like, oh, today we went to so-and-so's house, we had dinner, we had a good time. It made me appreciate moments like that. It made me appreciate the wonderful friends I will not stop stressing, I love you guys so much, the wonderful friends I've made. Because there's some of them that I used to be like, this one will be friends forever. But then when I left, I realized that connections mm-hmm. can end, mm-hmm. like simply cut off. Like people will cut you off. People will stop talking to you. People will not have time for you anymore because everybody's life is moving. Mm-hmm. So I think, for me, that's what that taught me. That you have to. Don't take those small moments for granted. Because, it will haunt you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes. I think that's it. Unless anybody has anything to add about growing up, how they were beaten, curses to their parents.
Nah, I just thought to cherries. I live in Kenya. You guys hit me up.
I'm just happy that we have, such a close family, you know, everyone in our family is very close, mm-hmm. like especially our parents, mm-hmm. because they're siblings, they're very, very close. Like, they make sure they spend Christmas together, mm-hmm. they make sure their kids get along. Yeah. So, that's one big up to our parents. Yeah. They forced us
to love each other. Fuck you, you will love each other by force.
Yes, and that made things easier. For us to have this relationship that we have right now. So yes, that's just what I want to say. I love our family.
Big ups to this family. Okay, so as we close, thank you guys for staying true to navigating and staying jiggy. And I hope that this episode really helps you guys to just come to terms with how you've grown up, to have funny flashbacks about how you were also beaten. Like Che, we call her Che. We call Cherise Che. Yeah. She has really bad memories from her childhood. So if you're like, don't be like Che. Have good memories from your childhood. Yeah. So I hope that this episode will give you guys a chance to just get in touch with your relatives. Tell them how much you love them and your friends too. So that was it for this episode. Thank you, and bye-bye. And bye. Stay jiggy.